The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Petit. Today's Daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Morzekeni, Rabbi Yosef Ben Sara, Le'ilu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied by Fuat Shalema, Moshe Ben Dina, Sara Ruchama Bat Rachel, Sara Bat Rachel. Eina refanu lahem. ואת הנפש ופואת הגוף ופואתם כדומה לבוא וכן ינעשו ונאמר אמן. ובגין תראי דף on פחת עמוד בית and we are starting three lines from the bottom at the new משנה. משנה read ונדר אלמנה וגרושה יקום עליה. This is actually a פסוק in the פרשה ודרים. The full פסוק reads ונדר אלמנה וגרושה אלמנה או widow or a divorcee makes a neder, kol asher asera al nafsha yakum aleha. Any neder that she makes is going to be binding on her, which means the neder cannot be mufar. The husband cannot be mefer the neder. Now, the chaura, that seems quite obvious. She is a divorcee. She has no husband. She is a widower. She has no husband. What do I need a pasuk to tell me that if a widower or a divorcee makes a neder, the neder is binding? Of course it's binding. She made the neder. She doesn't have anybody reshut acharim aleha. She doesn't have a husband be mefer. Isn't that quite obvious? So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, you're right. It's talking about a specific case that is not so obvious. What's the case? Ketzad. The Mishnah's question, Ketzad, what's the case? Amra Hareni Nazira Ve'achar Shiloshim Yom. She makes a neder. She says, behold, I'm going to be a Nazir after 30 days. Afalpi Shiniset Betoch Lam Midyom Eno Yachon Lehafir. Which means, let's say she was a Girusha or she was an Almana. At that point, she wasn't married. She was divorced, or she was a widow. She said, I'm going to be a Nazir in 30 days. At the time that she made the neder, there was nobody there to be mefer. The neder seemingly she was alone. However, at the time that the neder goes into effect, which means 30 days later, she was married. So the question is, how do you judge a neder of such a sort? Do you go after the time that the neder was uttered, or was made, or do you go after the neder was put into effect? What's going to be nafkamina? If you go after the time the neder was made, since she was made, she was almana and gerusha, she had no husband, so the neder is chal. The neder is out. Husband has no rights. But if you say that the neder goes after the time that it goes into effect 30 days later, that time she was married, so the husband will have rights to be mefer. So that's really the question. So the Mishnah's din is, enu yachod hafer. The husband cannot be mefer. So what is that teaching me? That nedarim, this is going to our Tana, go after the time that she made the neder. And since the time she made the neder, she wasn't married, even though when it went into effect 30 days later, she was, doesn't matter. This Tana, the Mishnah is going, and it goes after the Amira. It goes after the time that she uttered the neder. And that's what the pasuk means. The neder almana ugrusha. A neder of an almana and a girusha, the neder is hal. Husband has no rights. What is it talking about? That now she has no husband, but when the neder goes into effect, she's going to have a husband. And I do say you don't go after the time of 30 days later, you go after the time that she made the neder, but the neder is going to be hal. I mean, the husband does not have rights. That's what the Mishnah says, Eno Yachol Lefer. Let's read that in the Ram. The Ram is four lines at the bottom. V'neder almana grusha yakum aveha ketzat, amra areni nezira lachasushin yom afapishin eset, v'vadai krad haki ata. For sure, the pasuk is coming to say where eventually she got married. The ibeh lo nesed. If it's not where she's just a regular almana or gerusha, lametzrichra. What do I need the pasuk lomar? The yakum aleha. What do I need the pasuk to tell me that the neder is hal? Pshita man mefela. Who's going to be mefer? She has a husband. Ela vaday nesed itzrich. The hadush is what where the almana or the gerusha eventually gets remarried. Lomar. She made the neder when she was still an almana widower. even though the neder is not activated until 30 days later, and by that time she was married, the hamikin eno mefer. Why? Key lines now. Rishum v'batav amira azina. You go after the time that the neder was uttered. Shenadra kodim shenesed ve'ena ba'al mefer bekodmin. We learned many times in the Darim already that a lady that gets married, the husband has no right to be mefer the kodmin, the nedarim that were on her previously before the nisuin. Therefore, this is considered a neder that was on her previously before the nisuin, and therefore the husband has no right. That's the first case, case one of our Mishnah. Now we go to case two. Nadra, she made a neder v'hi b'rishut ha'bal, which means she made a neder and she is in the domain of the husband, meferla. Then, of course, the husband can be mefer. Isn't that obvious? So the Mishnah says, Ketza, what's the case? Amra, areni nizira le'achar lamed. She's married. She comes along and says, I accept upon myself nizirut, but the nizirut is not going to happen until after 30. Apalpi shenit almena unit garesha betoch lamed. What ended up happening? She became a divorcee or a widow within 30 days before the neder actually went into activation. That is a mufar. The neder is able to be mufar by the husband. Why? Same principle. Because the neder goes after the time that she uttered it. And since at the time that she said it, she was married, so therefore the husband has rights. Even though by the time the 30 days comes around, she was not married anymore, doesn't matter. The husband still has rights to be mefer at the time that the neder was made. So therefore you go ben lechumra, ben lekura. You take this principle, whether you're being stringent or whether you're being lenient. Which means, in the first case, when we learned that she wasn't married yet, you're going to be stringent and say, what? Well, the husband cannot be mefer. Because bottom line, she was an almana or a gerusha at this point, and the neder is hal at the time. The neder is mekuyam, or the neder is viable at the time that she made the neder, even though it's not hal till later. And then we have a kula over here, that if she was married and she made the neder, even though she became a widow, by the time the neder is activated 30 days later, doesn't matter. The husband has rights to be mefer because it goes after again. Na'amida. Now we go to case number three. Case number three is nadra bo bayom. An interesting case. She made a neder bo bayom. What do you mean bo bayom? So the Ran says bayom shenesed. She got married. And on that day that she got married, she made a neder. Okay, no problem. V'nitgaresha bo bayom. That same day, she got divorced. And then what happened? Okay, well, she got divorced. So the husband loses his rights, yeah? Hazira bo bayom. And then he remarried her that day. So in one day, she got married, made a neder, got divorced, and then remarried the same guy. He does not have rights to be mefer. Why not? So the Mishnah says, they are kelal. Kol sheyatzal v'rishut atzma sha'ah achat, eno yachol lehafer. Rule. Anytime she goes out to her own domain, even for 1 second, the husband loses his rights. And since at the time of the Girushin, the husband lost his rights, albeit temporarily because he remarried her right away, doesn't matter. Once she goes back to her own, the husband loses the initial rights. Look at the Tapran. Nadra bo bayom biyom shenesed. Uchde'okim la'ab b'perich na'ara mu'urasab b'shenesab v'netkarsha bo bayom. V'azira bo bayom. And he took her back that same day. Eno yachol la'afer. She'en ha'ba'al mefer bekodmi. Because now already, when he marries her second, but she has an edit on her already. And what's the rule? That when a husband gets married, it cannot be mefer previous nedarim. This is considered a neder from a previous marriage. Even though it was his marriage, doesn't matter. Once there was a break in the action, a divorce in between, when she goes back to her own, the husband loses rights. Now, the Ran just speaks out. Let's take another case, which the Mishnah doesn't speak out, but the Ran gives us clarity on it. Let's say they had irusin. Okay, they weren't nisuin, it was irusin, got engaged, right? Got divorced from the irusin, and then got re-meurat. Same story, just make it by irusin. Name enu yachol lefer b'shutafut ha'av. Doesn't matter. Normally in Arusa, the Nedarim go off in conjunction with the father. The father and the husband have rights. In this case over here, no rights either. Why? Because what's the rule? We're going to learn the Gemara today. Once a girl gets married, shuv in the aviyah zechut ba, which means, let's say the case is she got married, being clear again, she got married, got divorced, and got re-engaged. Okay? It's nisu'in, girushin, irusin. So the Rambam says, at that point of the irusin, don't think that the father and the husband now have joint on the neder that she made. Why? Because once she becomes a nisu'ah, the rule is, she goes out of her father's domain forever. Can never go back. So since the father cannot make hafara, so the husband now cannot make hafara alone. He stands alone. Therefore, he's also out of the picture. So therefore, whether it was a re-nisu'in or re-irusin, the husband cannot make hafara. So those are the basic three cases of our Mishnah. Mishnah following the Tanah that holds again by Nedarim. It goes where she was at the time of the utterance of the Neder. Now we're going to see these Shitot in the Gemara. The Gemara begins, Tanya, we have a Braita. Almana Ugrusha. Again, you have a widower or a divorcee. She Amra, she said, Areni Nizida, Lifshe'inasit. I'm going to be a Nizira when I get married. Obviously, she's divorced now. She says, that when I get remarried, so then already I'm going to be a Nizira. Vinis says, and what, she got remarried. Rabbi Ishmael Omer Yefer. Nushita. Rabbi Ishmael says, the husband has rights. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Yefer. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. Now, what's the logic of Rabbi Ishmael? Obviously, he holds that a Nizir regarding the husband's jurisdiction to make a farah darim goes at the time of the activation of the neder. And since the neder is activated at the time of nisu'in, so therefore, he was married at the time of the, at the activation of the neder. Therefore, it's his rights. Whereas the Akiva, who's the author of our Mishnah, says, lo yafir, because again, it goes after the Avira. At the time that she made it, she wasn't married, the neder is hal. Let's read the Ram. Bishmael omer yafir. You go after when the neder is activated, and not after the utterance. So we found now a fantastic mahloket amongst the Tanaim, the Bishma'el and the Akiva, a fundamental mahloket. Does hafara of the husband, does it go after the time of the amira? If that's the case, since she made it when she was not married, he has no right to it. Or does it go after the time it's going to be activated, which in that case, it is going to be the husband's jurisdiction, because 30 days later, then, well, that's it. When I get married, so once she's married, the husband inherits that, and it goes activated at that point. Now the Gemara comes and gives us some other cases. Yelali is a siman. The simana yelali. We're going to give a siman. Yelali is a shetevot. Yafer, lo yafer, lo yafer, yafer. Just so you'll be able to remember the order of the following cases. So Gemara gives us a mnemonic to remember it. Now, here's the cases. Eshet Ish. Okay, you have a let's marry. She'amra haveni nizira l'kshe'it garish. Right? She says, I'm going to become a nizira when I become divorced. V'nit garsha. And eventually, she got divorced. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Rabbi Ishmael says, lo yefer. Again, Rabbi Ishmael is consistent. Since the neder is not activated till the time of divorce, and what? He said, Hafarab, the husband, goes after the activation, and therefore, since at the time of the activation of the neder, there's no husband, because she's divorced. So the husband has no right to be nefer at the time during their marriage. Did it be Akiva or Mer Yefer? Be Akiva is consistent with his logic as well. Since, bottom line, the neder was uttered at the time of the marriage, therefore, I don't care what's going to be activated after the time of divorce. You made the time of the marriage, there's a husband over there, he has rights to be nefer. Amar Rabbi Ishmael. So Rabbi Ishmael tries to prove his point. What are you talking? The Pasuk says, V'neder almana ugrusha. Right? It says, the neder of an almana and a grusha. That's the Pasuk. That's if an almana or grusha makes a neder is hal on that. Ad sheyeh neder b'sha'at al-menut v'girushin. which means the neder has to be chal at the time of the almenut and the gerushin. What exactly is he saying? So let's read the Ran to get clarity on what the Mishmer's contention is. Ad sheyin neder b'shat almenut v'gerushin. The neder, when it says the pasuk neder, that almana or gerusha makes a neder, when it says the word neder, haynu haluta neder. Meaning it has to be activated. Hilkach ben b'risha ben b'sifa. Batar haluta neder itlan lemezal. You go after when the neder is chal, which means in the case of a neder of an almana grusha. Obviously, it's talking about a case where eventually she got married. Because if she remains almana grusha, of course not. Sure. Of course, the neder is chal. Who's going to be meferet for? So obviously, the case was talking about one of the cases we just mentioned. Let's say the first case. The case was talking about where she was a hareri nizira l'sheinaset. Right? I'm going to be a nizira. Whatever. So she's an almana, right? She's making a neder now when I get married. The Bishmael understands the pasuk. V'neder almana ugrusha. When is it a neder? It's not a neder at the time she says it. It's a neder at the time she gets married. And therefore, that's when the neder is hal. And therefore, at the hadush over there is that at the time of the haluta neder, which is going to be l'chshin naseh, the husband's going to have rights to be Mefer, which means as long as the neder does not have any nafka mina yet, she just said it, but it didn't hit in, because at the time she was a man, she said, I'm going to be a nizra when I get married. Right now it's nothing, you're not married. Once she gets married, now it's considered a neder of an almana. There was a halut. So therefore he says, and I read again in the Ram, Hilkach, ben achi a neder b'sha'at al-minut v'gerushin. Which means, when do we say, I'm going to say it clear, when do we say in the Pasuk of the Torah that a neder in almana and gerusha, the neder is on her? That's if it was a neder at the time of the gerushin. It was a neder. But at this time of it, it wasn't a neder at the time of the gerushin or the almanut. She made a contingent on getting remarried. And therefore, since it was not a neder at the time of the almenut, it's not going to be mikuyam. It's going to be subject to when she gets married. Oh, then the husband's going to have ability to be nefer. What is the Rabbi Akiva's contention back to that? Rabbi Akiva Savam, Hareu Omer, Pasuk says, Kol Asher Asera al Nafsha. Pasuk says, by the neder of an almana grusha, anything that she's osir on herself, Ad Shiye Isure. Until it's going to be binding on her. When is the neder binding? At the time of the saying. At the time of the utterance. He looks at this at the time of Asera Isab. She locks herself in. When does the neder become locked in? At the time that you say it. And then Rabbi Akiva learns that the neder of an almanah grusha is binding at the time of the utterance. Therefore, the husband has no right to be nefer. Comes the Gemara, I look at the Ran. Ad she isur an neder, because she oseret atzma b'neder. She'akod olech har sha'a shu'un noder. It goes according to the time that she made the isur on herself. Now, not that when it becomes isur, at the time that she forbade herself. There was the machloket, if you want to crystallize the machloket, between the Bishma'el and the Bi'akiba. The Bishma'el learned the pasuko neder almana ugrusha. Neder means that for an almana or gerusha to have their own rights to make, for the neder to be hal, it's got to be a neder already. So it's a neder, the husband has rights. And then, well, since she made a contingent, till I get married, well, it's not a neder right now. When did it become a neder? It's time you got married. Right? Husband has rights. Hakamim said no, the Akiva says no. Neder almana says it's called as an asera al nasha. Once already she made the isur, verbally, she accepted upon herself that it. Okay, when it's going to be hal? 30 days later, it's in that say, doesn't bother me. Right now, it's considered binding, and therefore, it's her neder. The husband has no rights. And the opposite would be true as well. If she made it at the time of the marriage, so now, according to the Bishmah, she made it at the time of the marriage, for when she gets divorced, when is the activation going to take place? Activation takes place after the divorce, husband has no rights. The activation is no. It was made, the neder verbally was made at the time of marriage. Verbally, because it's a verbal acceptance, and therefore the husband will have rights. So come to Humran Kula, Ben Rabbi Akiva, Ben Rabbi Ishmael. Come to Gemara continues. Amar
Rav Chazda. So Rav Chazda comes along and says, Matitin Rabbi Akiva. That's obvious. Rav Chazda tells our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. Because what did the Mishnah say again? The Mishnah said, look at the crystal, the case of our Mishnah. She made a neder, and she said, I'm going to be a nezira in 30 days. After 30 days, right? At the time that she made the neder, she was an amana or a gerusha. Rabbi Akiva says, in that case, husband cannot be mefir. Even though by when 30 days rolled around, she was married, doesn't matter. And that's when the activation of the neder came. Rabbi Akiva doesn't want the activation. He goes, lift the amira. The difference is not between Rabbi Akiva. Abaye Amar Afilu Tema Rabbi Ishmael. He says, Abaye, our Mishnah can even be going like Rabbi Ishmael. Now, how is that possible? He says, Ma'itin Talya Nafsha Biyome. Baraita Talya Nafsha Binisui. There's a fundamental difference between the case of the Mishnah and the case of the Baraita. The case of the Mishnah, pay note, it's talking about where she made her neder contingent on days. She said, I'm going to be a nezira in 30 days. Whereas in the case of the Braita, she said, I'm going to be a nezira when I get married. Big difference. The Gemara says, what's the difference? Shalmu yome ve'lo nitgaresha. Shalmu yome ve'lo nitnaseba. Which means like this. It's possible that when you make a neder for 30 days, who said that she was going to get married? The neder is not contingent on our getting married. The neder is contingent on, I'm going to be nezira 30 days. Whether she gets married or not, that wasn't the deed. It did 30 days. So therefore, since such a neder has viability, even without getting married, whether she gets married or not, the neder can be out potentially, therefore the husband has no rights. Because she didn't make it contingent on marriage. When does Rabbi Ishmael say that you go after the Haluta Neder? That's when she made it contingent on the marriage. Because in the case of the Braita, the Neder cannot be Hal of Nizut unless she gets married. Or unless she gets married, then it goes after the time of the Haluta Neder. But in the case of the Mishnah, 30 days. It's possible that 30 days can pass and she's not going to get married. Therefore, she'll have rights to that Neder. So since she has rights to that neder, and you know where she doesn't get married. Even if she does get married, it doesn't matter. The neder is going to be, the rights belong to her and not the husband. There's a fundamental difference between the two cases. Look at the Ran. The Ran speaks out. Afilu tema Rabbi Ishmael. Tichi azir Rabbi Ishmael batar halut neder. When does Rabbi Ishmael go after the time of the activation of the neder? Hani miliki talya nafsha b'nesu'inu b'gerushin. When she makes the neder contingent on the marriage or divorce. Hilka kivan she yifshan aminat ha-neder v'halut ha-neder shiv reshuta echad, which means it's obvious, the Ran says in very, very clear language here. He says, let's take the case where she made the neder contingent on getting married. It's not possible for the amira and the halut to be in the same domain. The amira is when she's single, and the halut is going to be when she's married. In such a case where the amira and the halut have to be in different domains, because she hinged it on getting married. In that case, if actually the Ishmael is going to say you go after the time of the marriage when it's chal, or after the divorce when it's chal, and therefore the husband will have rights or will not have rights. Svira led the Ishmael da alzina batar haluta nedra. If I'm iti, the lo talya nafsha ele biyome. Amishtas is 30 days. Vefshad vishalmu yome velo menasva. It's possible that the 30 days will pass and she didn't get married. Shalmu yome velo megarshal. The 30 days will pass and she didn't get divorced. It's possible that the verbal commitment of the neder and the actual activation can be under the same domain, under her own domain. Meaning, it's possible that the 30 days she didn't get married. And therefore, in such a case, even the Mishmael is going to agree that it's her neder and the husband has no right. Even if, let's say, she did get married, doesn't matter. She didn't get married, but that amira. Since it was la'ui to be under her whole jurisdiction, even if she went into the husband's jurisdiction, it's still going to go after the amira. So we just now, according to Abaye, we limited the Rabbi Ishmael's shita. Rabbi Ishmael's shita that says you go after amira is only, I'm sorry, The Bishmer Shitak goes after a chalut is only in a case where it has to be that the Amirah and the chalut are in different jurisdictions. Where he says, she says, I'm going to become a Nizirah when I get married. So if it's obvious, the Amirah was when she was single, the chalut is not going to be until she's married, then you go after the chalut. Or she's married, and she says, I'm going to be a Nizirah when I get divorced. It's obviously, again, has to be two jurisdictions. The Amirah was when she was married, and the chalut is when she is divorced. Then the Mishnah says, go after the chalut. But in our Mishnah, since it's possible that the Amirah and the chalut can be under the same jurisdiction, because she's not going to be in Nizirah 30 days. 30 days, she could still be in her own. Who said she's going to get married in 30 days? So if there's a potential to be in the same jurisdiction, you go after the Amirah. So what Abaye did for us is he made the Mishnah even Amirah that it be Yishmael. The question is, who do we follow? So the Ram just concludes as Ulinyan Alacha, Kaimalan, Kirabi Akiva. We hold back the Akiva, Ilkach, Afidu Omere Tarini Nizira Lekshin Nase. Oh, Lekshit Karesh. Matar Sha'at Amirat Aneder Azina Bezikula Ben Ha'ura, which means, let's summarize. We go like the Akiva. You go after the Amirah in all cases. Even if the Amirah is a case where she says, when I get married, I don't care. Even though it's Vadai that the Amirah and the Halut are in different domains, doesn't matter. You always go after the Amirah Ben Ha'ura Ben Ha'ura. Meaning, whether she says, I'm going to be in Nizira when I get married, doesn't matter. You said it when you aren't married, husband has no rights. Or the opposite. When she was married, she says, I'm going to be in Israel when I get divorced. Doesn't matter. Since you made it at the time you were married, husband has rights to be, even though it's not going to be activated until the times of Kiddushin. Then the Kula, then the Chumrah. Now the Gemara continues. Ze'akla, Diktani Gaben Na'ara Mu'urasa. We learned earlier in the Masechet. It said like this. Actually, in our Mishnah, well, let's go to the Mishnah above. It says, Zaklal, Kol shelo yatsa lirshut atzma sha'a ahat, adiya uba'ala acharon mefirin nidareya. Which we learned above. You want to know where above is? That would be on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Rishon. On Daf Ayin Aleph, the Mishnah was talking about the rights of a father and a husband to jointly mefer nidarim of a na'ara mu'urasa, of a girl that was betrothed, they have a joint, yeah? So the Mishnah said this is the rule. So long as she didn't go into her own reshut, even for 1 second, the father and the husband have rights to be mefer nidarim. Now we want to understand, well, what is that case coming to include? So long as she didn't go into her domain even for 1 second, the husband and the father still have joint rights. What are you coming to add by that case? Of course, we know. So the Gemara says, the Zeakla that was written on the Ayin Aleph, by Na'ara Mu'urasa Diktani, Gaben Na'ara Mu'urasa Le'etuye, what's it coming to include? Halach Ha'av Im Shiluhay Ha'ba'am. Let's say a case like this. The girl is engaged. Okay, she's Na'ara Mu'urasa. Now the husband wants to consummate, he wants to get married, right? So halacha adim shiluchay abam. Let's say the messengers of the husband came to pick up the girl to consummate the nisuin. Now, normally speaking, once the messengers come, she's in already the husband's jurisdiction already. At the time the messengers pick her up, but if the father goes with her, he's still involved, and therefore halacha adim shiluchay abam. The father went with the messengers of the husband. Even if the father sent his own messengers, he's represented. That's also, he's still in the game. Still the hadush is, the father is still in the game. And therefore can only be mefer jointly. Why? Because even though the husband went to pick her up for a nisuin, but so long as the father is still going, walking with the girl, he's still in the game, therefore he still has a joint. That's the hadush of the case on the Fahin Aleph. Now the Gemara says, what about the Zaklal in our case? Our case was, in our Mishnah, on the Petit we just read, we said, Zaklal, we gave a case that once, that was a scenario where she got married on the same day. Right? She got married, divorced, and they got remarried. So what the deen of the Mishnah was, once she leaves the husband's domain, even for 1 second, he cannot be mefer those nedarim again. When he remarries her, those nedarim now are considered nedarim of kodmim, the nedarim that were on her from before. So then the Mishnah makes a klal. They are klal. That any neder, or any moment that she left the husband's reshut, even temporarily, the husband loses his rights on the subsequent nedarim. What does that come to include? What's the tradition of the klal? Whenever you give me a klal, I could have known the klal from the case. I do not need the mishnah to come and give me a klal. The klal must be coming to give me a hidush. So the Gemara asks, what is this klal coming to teach me? The case is like this. Masan ha'av l'shluchei ha'ba'al. Let's say the father gave over the daughter, the daughter's engaged, gave over the daughter to the messengers of the husband. Or the messengers of the father gave over to the messengers of the husband. She'en ha'ba'al mefer bekodmim. The husband cannot be mefer bekodmim. Which is the case over here. The case is like this. The case is talking about over here. Let's say she was a meuresit. Okay, she was engaged to the husband, right? Now the father gave her over to make her nisuin. And who picked her up? Shilchaya Baal. Right? Or the messengers of the father gave it over to the messengers of the husband, which means once already she was given over conclusively for a nisuin, the father went home. Which is, even though she didn't actually get married before, she didn't get married yet. Her father just gave her over. So now already the hadush is she leaves the father's domain. And therefore, in Abal Mefer Bekodmi. Now the father, the husband, I should say, cannot be Mefer Nedarim of the focus. Once the father's out of the picture, there's no joint anymore. And therefore, the husband now cannot be Mefer alone. And that's the hadush of that once she leaves the domain, not only of the husband, even if she leaves the domain of the father, the husband stands alone. Can I be mefer nedarim? So really, if I do, she didn't get married yet. She's just sent to get married. Technically, she's still an arusa. According to legal law, she's an arusa. Once the father gives her over, he's technically removed. Oh, once he's removed, good, but these are nedarim of erusim. So he says, okay, husband, do it alone. I can't do it alone. These erusim nedarim only work with joint. Well, then your partner left because he gave her over. So the hadush is, you cannot do it as well, and therefore, he cannot make up an edadim at that time, because now she already entered his mishnah. So now we discuss the next mishnah. Now, the next mishnah basically is going to teach us one basic rule. And the rule is, there are three basic scenarios, that a girl, when she makes a neder, the father has no rights. That the neder is in the domain of the girl. There are three cases. And those cases are going to be the obvious case, where the girl is a yetoma. Yetoma means her father died. And she's a legitimate yetoma where the father died. Well, that's obvious. If the father died, obviously the father has no rights in nedarim, he's dead. And therefore such nedarim that the girl makes is going to be hers. Right? A second case is going to be when she becomes a bogeret. After a girl matures, when she has simanim, she started to reach puberty, and she reaches the age of 12 and 6 months, she's called officially a bogeret. Her nedarim has. Father only has rights on a ketana and a ne'ara, not on a bogeret. Third case where a girl has her own rights is still not where she's a yitomah b'chaye aviha. What does that mean, the yitomah b'chayev? She's an orphan and her father's still alive. How can she be an orphan with a living father? So the case is talking about, well, let's say she was a ne'ara. Let's say, I'll give you a simple scenario. She got married. And then what? She got divorced. Once she gets married, father loses rights forever. Even though she gets divorced, technically comes back to her father's house, you're out. Once you left the father's domain, even once, he never gets back his rights. So technically, she's like an orphan with a father being alive. Just like a regular orphan if the father died. She has her nedarim to herself. Here's a case where the father's alive and she has her nedarim to herself. And she's still in the hara. How? Where she got married, got divorced. She said, oh, got divorced. Okay, like nothing happened. Doesn't reset and go back to the father. Once she left the father's domain, even once, the father loses his rights forever. That's the case of Yetomah, Bechaye, Aviyah. So basically, those are the three scenarios. Now, the Mishnah begins, Tesha ne'arot nedrehem kayanim. that the Mishnah makes it a little more confusing for us. Instead of just giving us the three cases, the Mishnah makes from the three cases, nine cases. Now, again, the nine cases, again, are going to be obvious based on what we just learned. Once you know the rules, Bogeret and Nedarim are our own. A actual Yitomah, her Nedarim are our own. Yitomah, Bechaye, Aviyah, her Nedarim are our own. Once you know the three rules, these nine cases are going to fit in to all these three rules as well. It's just he gave more scenarios that come up. And what are they? There are nine girls. Okay. Case number one, Bogeret. Okay, she's a Bogeret. She's already 12 and 6 months. Vihi Yitomah. Okay, she's a Yitomah. What does it mean she's a Yitomah? She's an actual Yitomah. Well, actually, Yitomah b'chayav. Okay, the first scenario is a Yitomah b'chayav, which means she was a Bogeret. She made a neder, but she was a Bogeret. Okay, that what happened. When she made this neder, she was a Bogeret. She was already married, and she had gotten divorced or widow. Okay, so we agree. She has two out of the three scenarios. So again, she's a Bogeret, Vihi Yitomah, Ne'ara Ubagra, or let's say she made the neder when she was a Ne'ara, Ubagra, and she became a Bogeret, Vihi Yitomah, and still she's a Yitomah, Behaye Ha'av, or Ne'ara Shelo Bagra. Or she remained in the Ara, for that matter. It doesn't matter. She remained in the Ara, the Yitomah, but she became Yitomah B'Hayav, which means all these cases, the common denominator, she's Yitomah B'Hayav. She got married and then got divorced. I don't care if she did it when she was in the Ara. I don't care if she did it when she was a Bogeret, or did it when she was in the Ara and got divorced when she was a Bogeret. It doesn't matter. The point is, so long as she got married once and then divorced, the father is gone. Those are the first three cases. Next three cases are like this. Bogeret umet abiya. Na'ara bogeret umet abiya. Na'ara shelo bagra umet abiya. Okay, the next three cases are all where the father actually died. Whether she died when she was a bogeret, or whether he died when she was a na'ara, or she made the neder when she was a na'ara, and the father died when she was a bogeret, I don't care. So long as the father's dead, the nederim are off. Third scenario, Ne'ara Shemet Aviya, Umishemet Aviya Bagra. Okay, a Ne'ara that the father died, and then she became a Bogeret. Bogeret V'Aviya Kayam, for that matter, a Bogeret and a father is still alive. Ne'ara Bogeret. She made the name, but she was a Ne'ara, then she became a Bogeret. V'Aviya Kayam. All these cases over here, it's also not able to be mefir. The third scenarios are just cases where she's a Bogeret. I don't care how she's a Bogeret. She's a Bogeret without a father. She's a Bogeret with a father. She's a Bogeret. She was a Ne'ara, and then became a Bogeret. I don't know any which way she's a Bogeret. The father was... So, really, to get what I was going to say, what did the Tanakh come up? They have to confuse us in giving us all these nine scenarios. Just give us the three. So, to get what I was going to say is Lehadudeh. He just did it to sharpen the students, to give them all different scenarios where it's possible. Now, the Yehuda Omer, the Yehuda comes along and says like this. Let's say he married his daughter off when she was a ketana. Father has the right to do that, yeah? She married his daughter when she's a ketana. Vinit almena. And then she became an almena when she was a ketana. Onit garisha. V'chaza eslo. V'adayini ne'ara. Even though the whole thing happened when she was a ketana. Got married, got divorced, and came back when she was still in Ne'ara. So technically, you might want to say, well, she was Ketana, nothing means anything when she's in Ketana. She only came back when she's in Ne'ara, so she still has the jurisdiction. Doesn't matter. Look at the Nan. The Bihudah Omer. Ah, from Masid, Bitok Ketana. Ba'adaini Ne'ara. She's still in Ne'ara after the whole thing was said and done. Ashmina, that feel like that. Ketana, because she didn't sit. Even if she got married, she was in Ketana. Yatza, Mirshut, Abiyah, Ba'adam, Mishun. You might have thought, maybe she goes out of the father's domain in the marriage that was done when she was in the Ara, let's say. You know, she has to be a little adulthood. But maybe in the Surin of a Ketana doesn't take her out of the father's domain conclusively. Any sort of Nisu'in. Even a Nisu'in of a Ketana, she's out. And she does not come back. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke out, and she's still in the Arah. By the way, even if she was still a Ketana, even if she came back when she's still a Ketana, that's what the Rambam speaks about. V'chi Ketani ma'adari ne'ara huadim namit afilu ketana. Kevan, she nesit ena bi'arishut ba. Na'idei zekan na'aram, she nesit ketana ena b'klu. Right, the point is, the reason why I say ne'ara, because the nedarim of the Ketana anyway means nothing. Because Ketana and nedarim are worthless. So if one has to say a case where she was a Ketana when she got married and divorced, she came back when she was now, she made a neder now when she's in the ara, which a neder is valid technically, but our father has no rights. Good. Now the Gemara comes over and says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Zu Devrei Rabbi Yehuda. All this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Aval HaChamim Omrim, Shalosh Ne'arot, Nedrehem Keyamim. HaChamim just gave you the three cases like I told you in the beginning. And what are they? Bogeret, in all scenarios. Yetoma, meaning an actual orphan. Yetoma B'chayav. Or were you Tuma when the father is still alive technically when she got divorced or widowed? And the only reason, like I told you, why the view that for you hold the nine cases is the Hadudeh, to sharpen the Tabidin. Now, where do you see that? And where am I getting this from? So go to the Ram at the Amud Rishon. Look at the third line from the bottom in the Ram, Mirushalmi. Three lines from the bottom in the Ram, he quotes Yerushalmi, She'af Rabbi Yehuda lo amra, ela lehadid ba'em et ha-talmidim. He only gave these cases to sharpen the talmidim. You're mixing and matching the cases, bukeret, the hayyab, and so on and so forth. All these scenarios, but really it's basically comes down to three principles that you have to remember. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah starts off as follows. Here the cases are going to be where a lady is not making a stam neder, she's making a neder with a condition. It's a conditional neder. Right? She's making her neder against her husband contingent on another factor. Okay, now let's just review some of the rules that we learned. Husbands technically only have right to be mefir, their wife nedarim, in scenarios where the neder is affecting him, beno lebena. Or if the neder is a sort of inui nefesh, where it causes the husband some sort of pain or grief, okay? Things like that. Or she, let's say, afflicts herself, and therefore the husband has rights also to be nefesh, okay? Now this case is a little different because it's not a cut and dry neder against the husband. It's dependent on other factors. If they happen, then the husband's going to be affected. Let's see case number one of the Mishnah. Kunam she'eni, we'll read it like that. It's different kind of sort. We'll read it like that. Kunam she'eni ne'ene le'aba ul'avich. Which means, I'm making a neder, kunam zol korban, asur to me to have an a'a from my father or your father, im ose ani alpicha. Which means, if I serve you, if I listen to you, on your orders, on your words, if I listen to what you have to say, and get me a glass of water, make the bed for me, do whatever, if I listen to any of your commands, I am going to make myself forbidden to my father or your father. Okay? Which means she's forbidding herself from the father. The kunam is on what? On the father. But it's contingent on what? If she serves the husband, okay? She'eni ne'nit lecha, or the opposite. The kunam is on the husband. Kunam she'eni, I am not going to give you any hana'a, im oseh ani alpi abba. And the condition is, if I serve your father or my father, na'pi adi charev ze'yafir. Common denominator in both cases, the husband can be nefir. Let's get clarity in the construction of this Mishnah. There are two cases. Case number one, the neder is on her father with a contingency to the husband, which means I am not going to benefit from my father if I listen to your words. The second case is the neder is on the husband. I am not going to give you any hana'a if I benefit my father. So the tenai is on the father. In both cases, it seems there's a chidush here. In both cases, the husband has rights to be mefer. Question is why? What's the two cases? Which cases are bigger chidush? So we need an answer. Let's go to the Ram. The Ram in the Mishnah, the only Ram in the Mishnah. Let's read it again. The bold letters, Matnitin. Kunam she'ani ne'nit le'abba. Ul'avich im ani ose al-ticha. I'm going to permit myself against my father if I'm going to listen to you. Or she'ani ne'nit le'cha. I'm going to be forbidden to you. That's the kunam. Im ose ani al-pi abba. If I listen to my father, if I hear my father question. Al-pi abi charez yechol lafin. Nid'e be'inai. De'lozu avzu ketan. Now you know what a lozu afsu is. Lozu afsu means that not only this case, but even this case. Sometimes the Mishnah will give you two cases, right? Now, what do you need two cases for? So sometimes the Mishnah builds up, not only in case number one, which might be obvious, but even in case number two, which is less obvious, still you can be mefer. Lozu builds up. Lozu, not only this, but even that. You understand how those who have the words. That means the second case of the Mishnah is obviously the bigger Hiddush. Now let's see why. The Itana Reshab Bilfon. If you only gave me the first case, that's crystallized the first case. The Neder is against a father, contingent on what? That she's not going to listen to her husband. Right? Sakada Dakim to Mishumachi Akod Lafir. Pashut can be mefer in that case. Why? Mishum de me'ashta mitzira. At this point over there, miman nafshach, she's asura to somebody. Ibana at avia, mishum de dra'in, she's forbidden to have an from a father goes to the neder. O bimashit ta'aseh lepif. Or from listening to husband's instructions, mishum tina'a, because of her condition. Which means whatever side she exercises, she's going to be forbidden either to the father or to the husband. Which means like this. In this case over here, the neder that she made against her father, right? She said, I'm not going to have any anah for my father. She's forbidding herself if I serve you. So the mother said, either she's going to be forbidden to the father based on her neder, or she's going to be able to serve the husband. The Ram says, that's pashut that the husband is going to be able to be mefer. Why is he going to be able to be mefer? So the explanation is because it's been on the bena. Which means this neder over here, whatever side you take, is affecting the husband. Not the bena. From the father, we learned earlier that when a lady forbids us even from one person, that's considered already a new nefesh. And therefore, the husband has rights to be mefer. And certainly, if she's going to be forbidden to the husband, that's already a vaday ben olivin, that the husband's able to be mefer. Which means no matter which side you exercise in this case, there's going to be a subject that's going to affect the husband. Or pam, if she's forbidden to the husband, vaday ben olivin. And if she's forbidden to the father, so you say, what's that got to do with the husband? It's got to do with the husband. Because if she forbids herself from the father, even if she forbids herself from one person in the world, that's considered affecting the husband. So therefore, on that side, it's pashut that the husband can be mefer. Aval b'she'ani ne'nitecha im ose ani al pi abba ba'al pi abich de'be'a b'tana adida le'ba lo inui nefesh ve'lo mishum de'barim de'beno de'bena. In the second case, what was the neder? The neder was im ose ani al. I'm reading this in the case of the Mishnah. She'eni ne'nit lecha, which is I am not going to have any hana'ah from you im ose ani al pi abba, which means if I serve my father, I'm going to be forbidden to you. Now in that case over there, the chaura, she's not forbidden to the husband at that point. She don't serve the father, and she's forbidden to the husband. And then the kind of why she doesn't have to be able to mefer such a neder, which means at this point over here she's permitted to the husband. Just don't serve the father, and everyone means okay. So he says, "Sakadak amina delomati mefer." I would think that she could have mefer in that case. Kamash malan kevan de taltatana bedavar she asuyan da avor alav she efshar she לאישה שתעמיד עצמה שלא תעשה לאביו ולאביה.
Even
though right now, what's the problem? Serve your husband, don't serve your father. There's nothing to be mitzvah over. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect the husband. It does affect. You know why? Because, not that it affects me, no. I'm saying this. It's a type of neder that you made that it's impossible for you to fulfill. Because inevitably you're going to serve your father eventually. You can't have a neder on you that it's impossible to fulfill, which means it's just a matter of time where the father asks her to do something or some sort of. So that I'm telling you, Hadush over here. Such a neder as well. That's inevitable, that's going to be broken because she can't fulfill. The husband has rights to be mefer that neder as well. Because this Tana holds as well that even though nothing was halal over here, which if you think about it, it's all conditional. Which means, he's coming, I'm only forbidden to you if I serve my father. Nothing happened. It's all contingent, nothing kicked in yet. Continue serving your husband, keep away from your father, Shalom Israel. Yafir, break the neder, husband. What do you break the neder? It's not affecting you. It's not affecting me, but you know what? Such a neder to keep on the wife where inevitably she's going to have to break it because she's in a certain body. I'll do this. You can be mefitted as well. The first case is not a hadush that much because the first case over there, she came along and said, Kunab she'eni neder la'avah. Already she made a neder. I am not going to benefit from my father. Im ose'ani apicha. Im ose'ani apicha. So therefore, no matter what. Either at this point she's submitted to the father or she's submitted to the husband. So the husband's going to buy. That's been all they've been out. For sure you can be mefir. The hadush is when she comes along and says, I'm still mutar to you, but I cannot be neder for my father. If I neder for my father, I'm asur to you. Good. So nothing happened. Kama shoran, tafir. Yishan, to keep yourself on such a neder. Because it's not a topic, you have to serve a father, and therefore the husband can still be, even though technically it's not a benon le benah neder. I want to point that out. At this point over here, the wife can still serve the husband. No problem. Just keep away from your father. Tafir. No problem. And hadush number two is, even though no neder was chal yet, which means it's the condition wasn't met yet, so you're being mefer something before it even has viability. Normally, how do you break a neder? A lady says, I'm not eating apples. Okay, it's a neder. That's on her now. She's forbidden to eat apples, by the way. Husband can come in and be mefer. Here, it's contingent. The neder is, if this happened, didn't happen yet. Hadush is the husband can even be mefer nedarim before they even kicked in. Okay, that's what the Ram points out. Let's go one point to Gemara, and we'll conclude. Tanya. All right, Braita. Similar cases to the Al-Mishnah. She'eni ne'enit le'abah. Right? Like the first case of the Mishnah. I'm not going to have an a'a from my father, or Abicha, your father. Im ani ose leficha. Right? If I serve you. So she forbids herself. The kunam is on the father if I serve the husband. Rabbi Natan omer lo yafer. Rabbi Natan says you cannot be mefer. What's the logic of Rabbi Natan? The Binatam's going to hold, there's no neder here yet. Which means, since the neder did not take into activation, it's a conditional neder, so therefore, conditional neder, you cannot be mefer. V'achemim omrim yafer. Hachemim say, no, you can be mefer. Now let's go to the second case, and then we'll see the Ran, we'll see the Hadushim here. Netura ani min ha-Yehudim. Im mishamashtech. She comes along and says like this, I'm going to be forbidden. Or I am forbidden from all the Yehudim to have tashmish, including you, even if I have tashmish with you. Which is really telling the husband, the first time that I have tashmish with you, I'm forbidden to have tashmish with you forever. Again, the first time I have tashmish with you, I'm forbidden to have tashmish with you from there on. The binatan omer lo yafer. Again, the binatan is consistent. Lo yafer. Vachemim omrim yafer. Can you say? Make kafara. What's the scenarios? Ran. Nir'eli, first wide line. Which means the reason why we gave two cases in the Braita is also to teach me Hadushim. Tana Kamal Ributa the Rabbanan. The first case is a Hadush in the rabbi's opinion. And the second case is a Hadush even in the Binatan. The Begavna Kama Nadlab the Ainu Nefesh. Which means in this case over here, then it is a Ainu Nefesh case. Why is it in the Nefesh? The Sfira We learned earlier, when a lady forbids herself even against one person in the world, is considered a new nefesh. In this case, she may forbid herself from a father. That's considered a new nefesh. And the condition is affecting him, which means the neder is affecting the father, which is a new nefesh for the husband, and the condition is affecting the husband, which is benot the benah. Get it good. Neder against the father with a condition on the husband. Whatever way you look at it, it's a problem. If you look at it from the father's standpoint, once she's forbidding herself from the father, considered a new nefesh to the husband. And the condition that's going to be met is going to affect the husband. I would have thought maybe the neder is not hal yet. Maybe you cannot be mefer. The Hiddush over here is that even though the neder was not hal yet, the rabbis will say you can be mefer. You know, it's conditional neder. The Hiddush in the Resha is yefer. The second case is Hiddush in the Binatan. Why? Which is in the second case. Let's get the second case good. I am forbidden. If I have to speak with you once, I'm going to be forbidden to have tashmish with you forever. Okay? So now he says like this. Right now she's in a bind. What do you want to let her do? Tishamish? Well, you want to let her have tashmish with the husband? Problem. Mitzera. What's going to happen? She's going to become forbidden. Batana, can be tashmish. Lo tishamish? Okay, so don't have tashmish. He can be tashmish with the husband. Which is, whatever she does now, technically she's stuck. One more tashmish, she's submitted for the Jizabah. Don't have tashmish, and we never. So whatever way you look at it. So start the Vakamina, that's the Binatam was there. I would have, even the Binatam might agree that what you can make, hapana. Kamashmanan, that what? Doesn't matter. Yafid, the halal, there's a mikti, kamashot, that's the one thing, kivan chadai, no hamamash, no yafid. But this eat, bottom line, was the neder hal yet? No, so conditional. So the sefad, the hadush is in Rabbi Natan, that still he says what? No yafid. I review outside now. The Braita now brought me two cases. One case, again, both conditional cases over here. The Hiddush in the Resha is Alibad Rabbanan. In this case over here, the neder was not hal yet. Make conditions, which means I'm forbidding myself from my father if I have an hour from you. Okay, nothing happened yet. She just made the conditions over here. Now, granted, the conditions over here, both sides affect the husband. Whether she'll set herself from the father, chesed or nefesh, or if she becomes forbidden to the husband, it's benon lebenah. But the point is, it wasn't hal yet. Kamash malan. Yafir, because Labanan hold, you can be mefir and neder even before it actually becomes active, so long as it's affecting the husband. Both sides are affecting the husband, the Tanai part of it and the Kunam side of it. The Hadush in the Sefa is where even, let's say, where there's a conditional neder, but there's ramifications immediately. I'm not going to have to shmish. If I have to shmish you one more time, I'm forbidden to you forever. And whatever she does now, there's problems. If she has to shmish one more time, she's forbidden. If she doesn't have to shmish, already she doesn't sign immediately. Hiddush is in the Binatan. That says what? Since bottom line, it's not officially activated yet. Lo yafir. I would have thought such case would have ramifications immediately. Kamashan lo yafir. But I can't say yafir even in that case. So those are the two Hiddushim of the Brayta. Amen. Amen.